Can he do it again? Mike did it. Finney stops, pops, fires! Finney got it up again!
Cousins gets a touch, but he helps out.
That is a man jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com. Here are your hosts, Vince Merrickle and Drew Runberg.
Once the thing wants to start loading, there it goes. And we're starting in 3, 2, and... What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. I'm your host, Vince Merrickle, and joining me today, you guys have heard him before during the NBA season. We had him on talking about toward March Madness time, Mr. Ed Isaacson from NBA Draft Blog. Ed, what's going on, man?
Hey, Vince, how you doing?
Oh, you know, trying to stay out of this Sacramento heat. It's actually cooled down a lot today. But yeah, just hard work and trying to get ready for this draft. How about yourself?
It's 2 weeks to the draft. That's all I'm worried about right now.
So have you been watching any of the NBA finals at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I try to make, you know, my work schedule enough that even if I have to work on something, it's something I can do while I watch the finals.
So we've been seeing it now. These finals have been terrible to watch. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I've been bored. We've seen a 15-point blowout in Game 1, a 33-point blowout in Game 2, and I didn't even finish Game 3. What are your thoughts from these finals? And because my prediction has been Warriors in 5, after watching last night's game, because today's Thursday when we're doing the show, you guys are hearing it on Friday. After watching last night's game, Ed, what are your thoughts on the Cavs? Do you still think they have a boxer's chance in winning this one still and winning this series, or do you still have the Warriors as the heavy favorites?
No, I think it's still the Warriors. And, you know, other than what happened in Game 3, you know, we still haven't seen a good game from Curry or Thompson. Well, I mean, they've played, you know, okay, but not what, you know, we're used to seeing. My original thought going into this was going to be Warriors in 6, and that still sounds about right to me.
So I've throughout this theory, because this show is for SackKingsNation.com. I also work for Hoopball, and we did a hot takes thing. And before we get to the draft, I want to get your opinion on this. And for those who don't know what I'm about to talk about, definitely go check out the Fantasy NBA podcast that I do over at Hoopball. But there's been a growing discussion between my peers and I about how good Stephen Curry is, and maybe people have pointed him a little too early as one of the greatest of all time. Now, I look at him as one of the greatest shooters of all time here, but for me, people were saying that he's better than Kobe in their prime, LeBron in his prime, Magic Johnson, and even Michael Jordan at times. People bring up that name. I just think, for me personally, and I want to get your opinion on this, I have him just above Reggie Miller on my totem pole, and I know that's such a big drop from those big names at the top, and for how much Curry has transcended the game this season, I know that's kind of crazy to say, but what are your thoughts? Where do you think Curry ranks right now after watching him through these finals and not really, like you said, having his Chef Curry game?
You know, it's still too early to really figure out, you know, where he's going to end up ranking, you know, or where he is now. You know, I agree with you. He's the best shooter I've ever seen. There's just nothing like what he's done. But a lot of it also comes down to, you know, the argument that goes around all the time that you can't compare the guys from different eras, and, you know, the game has changed, and, you know, a lot of what Curry does, you know, it just sort of fits with, you know, the way the game is going now. You know, some things he could have done, you know, back when some of the other greats played, some he wouldn't. it was a more physical game. And he, someone would have, say it or not, like it or not, someone would have put him on the ground a few times. And
like those bad boy Pistons.
Yeah. And, I understand the appeal of watching what he does. It's a lot of fun to watch. But to even have a, have him in a conversation of the best of all time at this point is just very premature.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying from this conversation. I don't want to get too much hate for it. And you guys, the listeners, can definitely let us know just using hashtag the Kingscore and let us know what you guys think about Stephen Curry. But let's move on here. The reason why I had you on the show is, of course, to talk about the NBA draft. We've had you on, again, in the middle of the season right before March Madness started to talk about these prospects here. And I have a few names in mind, but let's start at the top of the draft with the number one and number two pick. How good, in your mind, is Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram? Are they superstar talents? Are they all-star talent caliber players? Coming into the NBA, what kind of players do you think they have the potential of being?
There's definitely a chance they can be all-stars at one point, but and it may have been something I said the last time we talked. The problem with this draft is there's not that player that you would build a team around. So if you have one of these top two picks, it's sort of a tough situation. And it's one of those cases where, instead of the best overall talent, it's possible that you may want to go with who's the better fit, because it said you're not getting the cornerstone of your franchise's future in either Simmons or Ingram. You're getting someone who will make you better, will be a nice piece with what you have already. But in terms of where they rank among other top two picks, I don't see them being in sort of that elite class.
Well, there's a lot of talk right now for the Kings, especially of their name going to be attached to a lot of trade rumors, one of which, of course, going to be surrounding the bad man that is DeMarcus Cousins and a potential trade to possibly move the Kings into the number one or number two pick. Now, I'm not saying that's what the Kings are looking at. I'm not saying that that's a rumor that's already started, but come closer to draft time, that is going to be a rumor that is swirling around because the Kings are desperate to try and come back to the glory days that was once in Sacramento back in the early 2000s. In your opinion, Ed, do Ingram or Simmons, whoever falls to number one or number two, are they the talent that's worth the Kings looking at potentially trading maybe to the Lakers for that number two pick and getting a guy like maybe Brandon Ingram and maybe attached pieces like Julius Randle, things like that? Are they worth trading to DeMarcus Cousins for, is what I'm getting at?
No. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, for all his issues he's had over the years, is still just a phenomenal talent. And I said, these guys aren't, if these were the kind of players that you would build your franchise around, then you may want to consider it, but neither of these guys are. So to give up a talent like Cousins for just this is, not very, it wouldn't make sense unless there was a lot more that Sacramento was getting back.
So let's now go down to the number eight pick, which is the Sacramento Kings pick. It's a lot of mock drafts have Chris Dunn becoming the Sacramento Kings pick. I have my own personal opinion on him, Ed. I'm going to relay some of the little short stuff that I've said previously on previous shows and announce them to you, and then you just let me know what you think and if you think maybe I'm off base on a couple of things, and maybe you can skew me in the direction of making me believe that he is the right pick for the Sacramento Kings. Because for me, Chris Dunn, he's a good point guard. He's arguably the best prospect at that position. My only issue with him is one, and maybe I'm overthinking it, but the fact that he's withholding his medical records from certain teams, the news that he wants to go to a team with without a proven point guard or a young point guard is an issue. So that already drops him down a few places, and then the fact that I've watched a few games of his, and I know he gets a lot of credit for his defensive potential. And I do see potential there, but I don't see him being a good defender coming into the league right away. I feel like he gets beat by his opposition quite a bit, and then he just has the ability at the college level with his quick feet to catch back up in his long arms. Am I off base with any of this stuff? Because, like I said, I like Chris Dunn, but in my personal opinion, if a guy like Jaylen Brown somehow falls, I would have Jaylen Brown above him for the Sacramento Kings.
No, I mean, a lot of what you said about Dunn, you know, has some sense of truth to it. You know, the medical records thing, if that is the case, you know, it's going to be tough for him to get around that. He's dealt with shoulder injuries a couple of times over his career. You know, it's something his camp is going to have to deal with at some point. The defense is sort of a little bit odd. Yeah, I mean, you know, he has all the physical capabilities to be a good defender in the NBA, and in terms of this draft, he's probably the top perimeter defender. But the problem with him is he was given so much freedom at Providence that he would end up wandering around trying to make plays, and you know, it led to, you know, his guy being left open and them getting easy baskets. He couldn't recover. You know, so there's a lot of things he can do. It's just getting him to sort of focus on the right parts of it. You know, my concerns with Dunn are, you know, he went back to school to really sort of work on two things: his perimeter shooting and his decision making. And he didn't really fix either one of them. So I'm not sure. You know, he is the best point guard, the most ready point guard prospect in this draft. He's not my pick for the best long-term prospect, but he's probably the one most ready. And the best right now. You know, my thing is, I'm not even sure he's going to be there at 8 for Sacramento. And, you know, because there's going to be, I think we're going to see a lot of deals going on in this draft. A lot of teams, especially in the top 10, I think are going to try and get out of it if they can. Because the talent just isn't there. And if you can pick up assets that are ready to play now, and if you're a team that sort of has a good core and just needs another, proven piece or two, why not get out? And then some team who does need a point guard, get in and get done.
So I brought up the name earlier, Jaylen Brown, and he's someone that I've really been eyeballing, and he's kind of been up and down in most sites' mock drafts. As of right now, he's around number 7 to the Denver Nuggets. But, I mean, early on, and Ed, when we talked about the last time you were on the show, that his stock was kind of dropping because of his tournament play and how he didn't really have that good of a tournament, so now he's already projected to be down near the Kings level. Again, like I said, right now, he's most mock drafts have him around number 7 going to the Nuggets. What are your thoughts on Jaylen Brown? Because to me, I feel if he drops to number 8, while he would still be a player that needs a lot of development, he seems that he's fearless. And I don't know if he'd be starter caliber ready. I think he'd be a player that would, like I said, need to develop a bit more. I think his decision making is low. His basketball IQ is a little bit low. He tends to try to go after two defenders at one time. But like I said, I feel like he has a lot of potential, and if he somehow fell to the Kings at 8, I think he would be a steal. Do you think if the Kings had a choice between Jaylen Brown and Chris Dunn, and somehow they're both available at 8, which of the two prospects do you think would better fit the Sacramento Kings?
I'm not a Brown fan at all.
That's gonna hurt me.
I don't get it with him. You know, it's. I mean, I understand the physical tools, but watching him play at times, you're just confused at what he's trying to do out there. You know, the shooting part bothers me. Everything is just trying to sort of barrel his way to the basket. And, you know, in at least sort of his physical abilities, he reminds me a lot of Stanley Johnson from the year before, who was able to fix a lot of the things he needed to early on and had some really good moments with Detroit in his rookie year. But with Brown, I think he's, you know, even further behind where Johnson was. And, you know, the point guard issue is just always, you know, it's just been a problem for Sacramento. And for whatever Dunn's, you know, weaknesses are at this point, he can be a starter at the NBA level. Maybe not right away, but he's a guy who, you know, if he does the work and still fixes those things, he's a long-term solution at a position that's been a problem for Sacramento.
I completely agree with you. I do believe that the Kings' point guard position is just a complete mess. What are they going to do with Rajon Rondo? The current situation with Darren Collison puts the point guard position in a sticky predicament. And Chris Dunn, and I was going to ask you this too, is if you thought he was going to be starter ready, and I guess that's kind of debatable as of right now. But, I mean, if you had to take a guess at it, I think you just said it right there, and I might have just misheard it. But do you think Chris Dunn is ready to come in at the NBA level and automatically be the starter for the Sacramento Kings?
Well, I think Sacramento is a good place for him to sort of do that because they're not going anywhere next year anyway. I mean, that roster isn't made for the playoffs. And I'm not sure they're going to attract anything else in free agency that's going to put them over the hump right away either. So, but look 2-3 years down the road, and the right things sort of come together, and Cousins starts to enter his prime, and if he's still around there, you know, they sort of start to add the right pieces around there, then, yeah, I think you may have a guy who has sort of worked his way through his problems, you know, has the confidence with his teammates, and, you know, he has the skill level and the physical abilities to do it. It's just a matter of working out a few kinks right now.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I do believe Chris Dunn is the best talent available for the Sacramento Kings. I just feel ceiling wise, and this is just from me watching the games, and that's why I wanted to bring you on so other people heard different opinions here. I like Jaylen Brown's ceiling. I just think he has a higher potential to become something a better two way player because, like you said, of his physical tools, the fact that he is fearless on the floor, being able to attack the basket, and again his athleticism is just ridiculous. But I want to move a little bit further down because this is my favorite pick for the Sacramento Kings, especially if Dunn and Brown are off the board. And in my opinion, I think this would best suit the Kings as I believe, like you said, you think there's going to be a lot of dealing going on at the draft. I think the Kings should trade down and go get a guy like Denzel Valentine. He's a tall shooting guard. He kind of reminds me of a Grievous Vasquez type of player where he's not too fast, but I mean he's quicker than Vasquez. He gets after you on defense and he does have vision on the floor. What are your thoughts on Denzel Valentine and the idea of the Kings moving down to go get him?
I love Denzel Valentine. One of my favorite players this past year. And you know, the guy who I actually voted for player of the year in college basketball, he sort of split it, you know, with Buddy Hield. They sort of split all the awards last year. Yeah, you know, he is a, you know, he's a Tom Izzo guy. He does, you know, he's skilled. He plays tough defense. He's smart. There's just so much to like about him. you know, the thing is that exactly what the Kings need right now? Is there, you know, is, or is maybe another point guard? You know, there, you know, I said earlier, you know, while Dunn's there, if you're going to trade down, maybe go get the guy who I think is the best long-term prospect at the point guard position and go that way. Or, you know, try and, you know, see if you can find, you know, one of these big guys who can shoot. So you sort of have that ability to stretch the floor at almost at all positions. So, there's a lot. If you're going to trade down, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And the thing with a guy like Valentine is you're not exactly sure how far you can go and be safe that you're going to get him. Because he's a guy who's going to impress just about any team he goes to. So there's a chance he can go anywhere from 10 to 20, depending on how things sort of shake out. So it's not a safe, you know, bet that you're actually going to be able to make a deal in a position where you're still going to be able to get him.
So in my theory is, and I'm not going to do the full trade. Well, you know what? I'm going to do this trade. I'm going to throw this trade idea to you. This is probably a ridiculous trade because I don't see Phoenix doing this. But you're the Phoenix Suns and I'm the Sacramento Kings. Are you ready for this trade, Ed? Here we go. I'm offering you Rudy Gay, Ben McLemore, and the number 8 pick for the number 12 pick, PJ Tucker, and Eric Bledsoe.
Now, if I'm first, I don't know why Sacramento would want it because you're.
They need a point guard. They're willing to take risks.
Yeah, but then you end up with, you know, Bledsoe, which is just a smaller version of, you know, the things you deal with Cousins. It's, you know, the off on again stuff, and you take that on, and again, it's, you know. If they want a point guard, you know, I mean, they can just stay at 8. I don't think they're going to miss out on one of the top 3 guys. So, and they're not, from what I see, they're not really gaining a lot from that trade in terms of, you know, other assets that would make them better. So, say that just happened to be, you know, the offer they had out there, I think they're better off just sticking at number 8.
Okay. Well, see, that was, like I said, this is just a hypothetical situation. I honestly, in my opinion, I wouldn't mind that trade. I mean, you get to bring back former teammates in Bledsoe and in Cousins. The Wildcats would be there. And then the fact, again, you get to get Denzel Valentine, who I think could help as soon as he steps on as soon as he gets to the NBA level just because he plays within himself. But then also you get that defensive help with PJ Tucker. But again, all hypothetical. That's where that was my ideas for the Kings to make a trade with the Phoenix Suns, and that would be something that I would look. Maybe even throw a guy like John Lewis in the deal. And so now moving on to the shooting guard position here, like we are with Denzel Valentine. I'm gonna move it back into the top 8. And we're going to be talking about Buddy Hield, and I guess Jamal Murray is more of a point guard, but I want to talk about these two guys. Buddy Hield to me is someone that kind of scares me because I feel like he can be a scorer right away. He seems like someone that is ready to come to the NBA level and just shoot the lights out of a basketball. But we've said this before in Sacramento about guys like Jimmer Fredette and Nick Stauskas. What does Buddy Hield bring that would make him more successful than those two previous picks were when the Sacramento picked two other shooters who they thought were going to be able to come in and help them right away in the 3-point shooting department?
You know, Buddy Hield is a guy, again, you know, you already mentioned it, tremendous shooter, but there's more. He's a more versatile offensive player than I think he gets credit for, especially after the shooting year that he had. So there's a lot more he can do. You could put the ball in his hands and let him, you know, try and create something. you know, you're not going to let him run your offense, but you can run a couple of sets where you put the, you know, put him in the pick and roll. And he actually performed pretty well during the year when he had opportunities to do that. So, while a good shooter and doing that, again, here's another guy that, in my mind, he is more of just, you know, a role player at the NBA level. A nice guy to have. He'll get you some points. But, you know, is he, you know, will in this draft, will he go in the top 10? Yeah. But as a long-term player, you know, I don't exactly, you know, see him being any team's, you know, anything more than like a fourth option when he's on, you know, if he was to be a starter, you know, anything more than a fourth option, basically, on the floor.
All right, Jamal Murray, again, another shooter that the Sacramento Kings have been, their name has been circled around about looking at as a young point guard. Again, another player that can shoot the lights out of basketball, but he seems to be a little bit young, again, unpolished. What are your thoughts on Jamal Murray and his potential going on to the NBA level?
Yeah, this is going to be something that we're actually writing about Murray for tomorrow. I don't buy the whole point guard thing with him. You know, he was at his best last year, you know, the second half of the season, when all he had to worry about was getting open to shoot, you know, putting the ball in his hands, ended up in some, you know, very good, nice passes. You know, he has good vision. He can get the ball, but just makes so many mistakes, tries to get a little cute with the ball. You know, if you're going to take a guy like Murray and you want to get the most out of him, you play him at the two and you run him off the screens and let him get open and let him knock down shots. But other than that, I don't trust him at the point guard position. One, I don't know what NBA point guard he's going to be able to defend. You know, he could be a real mess to watch on the defensive end. And, you know, two, you know, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what else, you know, he realistically brings other than being a spot shooter. He wasn't even a good shooter off the dribble. He's a spot shooter, an excellent spot shooter, but that was the one thing he did very well. So, again, you know, we look at what this draft is like in the lottery, and you end up with all these guys that have major question marks.
Ed Isaacson from NBA Draft Blog joins the Kings Court today. I'm going to pause the show right here to give a shout-out to our sponsor. Everyone, go to BrickHouseIndustries.com and check out all of their apparel from hats, shirts, and socks. And when checking out, be sure to use the promo code KingsCourt, and you will get a 10% discount right on us. And, hey, if you guys just want to go on there, just see all the new stuff that they got, and you just don't want to go onto the site, and you just would rather have it in an app, follow them on Twitter and on Instagram at BrickHouse_IND. Well, it seems like the international players are also getting a lot of buzz in this draft. I mean, Dragan Bender, he's projected to be a top three pick right now. You have Thon Maker, the YouTube sensation coming out of high school. A player that our fans have a question for you on is Timothy Luwawu. And then also Furkan Korkmaz.
Korkmaz.
What are your thoughts on some of these international players? And other than Bender, I'm guessing Bender's going to be at the top, but how would you rank these international players?
You know, Bender will be at the top, but he's still more a project than anything. And same with Maker. So, you know, they're sort of the bookends. I like Korkmaz a bit more than Luwawu. You know, people seem to have fallen in love with Luau's physical tools. That, you know, people have this obsession with wingspan. But, you know, Korkmaz is, you know, you watch him play and you can envision him being just the next one, you know, the next great European shooter to come over one day. You know, Luau is still a bit raw. He made some major steps. But you have Korkmaz is not even 19 yet. Luau, you know, 21. You know, so I would probably put Korkmaz second and Luau third, then Maker's another one that I just don't get it. You know, he's on that list.
Maker. I don't get it. Again, he's that YouTube sensation, and the fact that it's been 10 years since a high school player was entered into the draft. Has it been 10 years?
Yeah, and you know he found the loophole, so it doesn't make it. You know, it's been a strange ride, sort of watching, you know, how he's come along in a lot of ways. You know, he's still the same player that he was a couple of years ago. So, you know, he's a risk. He's a team. If you don't have to play him for a couple of years, great. You know, you can try and turn him into whatever you want. But, you know, that's more of like a late first round, second round question for someone.
I want to go back to Korkmaz and Luwawu. For me, I talked about Luwawu on last week's episode. We had a fan question come in, and like I said, I'm going to ask you that same fan question because they wrote back onto the show and said if we can ask you about Luwawu. But for me, I agree with you. I think Korkmaz is higher for me above Luwawu just because, like you said, he seems to be just a better shooter than Luwawu. Luwawu seems like he's going to be more of a project – more than a prospect going into the next level, and that's what I'm talking about with a lot of these international players, is that they're more of projects than prospects, if that makes any sense. But I do think Korkmaz is one of those players that can come in there and be someone that stretches out the floor just because of his shooting. But again, if the Kings are looking for shooting and just want another player to stretch the floor, I think Buddy Hield is a potential chance of being available at 8. And guys like, again, Jamal Murray – or other players in these draft up there. But when you're looking at Korkmaz, do you think he has the potential of moving up in this draft? Because he seems to be at the tail end of the first round.
Korkmaz? No, I think Korkmaz you're probably going to see sort of safely in the top 20. You know, with a chance of possibly sneaking in to the late lottery. But, I you know, my guess is he's going to end up somewhere in that 14 to 18 range.
And what do you think about Korkmaz? Do you think he's at the level of coming in and maybe being like a Mario Hezonja and getting minutes right away? Because, I mean, Hezonja had his struggles in his first year with Orlando. Do you think Korkmaz would probably be that same type of player or that same expectations for Hezonja for Korkmaz?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, the thing with Hezonja is, you know, even though his minutes sort of varied at times in Spain last year, he still got a lot more minutes than Korkmaz seemed to get at the highest level. So he's not ready, for the speed, the physical nature of the NBA game. And he's the kind of guy that, you know, if you drafted him, you know, I think a good plan for him would be to keep him overseas for another year or two, let him get some quality minutes over there, and then bring him back over.
All right, and now I'm going to turn it over to the fan question here. The fan, his name is Sam Fireside Kim. He said, do you possibly see Timothy Luwawu being taken over said Dedze Valentine or a Marquis Chris if Dunn and Brown are off the board, seeing as how perimeter shooting is such a dire need for the team?
No. Again, it's not, you know, you're still dealing with, you know, a time factor there where while the other guys said if there was a Chris, you know, Marquis Chris there or someone like that, even though in a lot of ways they're not ready, they're further along than the international guys are in terms of being ready to play at this level. And, you know, I don't think a team like Sacramento, you know, well, in some ways they don't need someone who can, you know, make a major impact right away because they're not, you know, making any kind of real move this year. But on the other hand, you want to be able to get someone who can go out there and log minutes and get the experience they need. And there's not a, you know, there may be one international guy I can, you know, in this draft who I think could do well if he got some minutes right away, and that's Hernan Gomez. But you know, he's someone who'll probably be picked a little later.
And what is it about Gomez that makes you think that he'll be the one over a guy like Bender, who's projected to be a top, you know, 3 to 5 pick, that you think Gomez would be able to be more effective than Bender coming in right away?
Yeah, one is Gomez has gotten major minutes at a high level in Europe already. So, I mean, he's a guy who's been tested. Bender hasn't played a whole lot. You know, he got some more minutes as it went on, but even in, you know, the EuroLeague contests, he wasn't getting a lot of minutes against the top teams. So, he's not ready to really do much. You know, if you give him 10 to 15 minutes a game, I don't think he'll screw up enough that you'll stop him from playing. But I don't think you're going to get a whole lot out of him right away, in the same way that, you know, as we get, you know, over these next 2 weeks, you know, you're going to hear probably another 40, 50 times from everywhere, you know, trying to compare Bender to Porzingis. But again, it's
I've heard Mirotić a lot for him.
Just because Porzingis is the new, the new hot thing, you know, from the international.
Yeah, he is.
You know, but the same size, physically there are some similarities there. But again, Porzingis was getting minutes over in Europe. And, you know, Bender hasn't gotten to that point yet. So, you know, Bender would be his best situation, probably for his confidence and everything, would be ending up in a place where there's not a whole lot expected of him right away, because, you know, there may be some backlash because fans have this impression in their mind that they're going to get something that's ready to go, and they're not going to with him. On the other hand, Hernan Gomez, you know, not only has he played major minutes, in Spain, but he's also, his game has evolved. He's got, you know, he's improved. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, again, he's not going to come in and be an NBA starter anywhere. But, you know, he's a guy that maybe halfway through his rookie year can become a rotation player.
So along with the number 8 pick, the Kings also have, the 54th pick, and they have a second-round pick this year. The 59th pick. And they recently worked out Mamadou Ndiaye. And this is going to be like kind of like a two-part question because, again, the Kings brought him out for a pre-draft workout. Who do you think would be available at the number 59th pick that you think would be like, hey, might as well take a flyer on him. He's a second round pick. He has potential and he's projected to go around that area. And also, what are your thoughts on a guy like Ndiaye, who is extremely tall and looks like he can be a character in Game of Thrones?
Ndiaye is an interesting guy, you know, an interesting player to watch because you get drawn to his size and his length. But then you watch him try and move on offense, and it's, sometimes it worked at the college level, but then it, you know, he never seemed to be able to play a lot of consecutive minutes. He's the kind of guy, if you're really interested in him, I don't think anyone's going to end up picking him. If they do, it would probably be around this spot, but you need to have sort of that D League system in place where you can really develop these guys.
The Kings did it with Simba Huler. I mean, they have the Bighorns, the Reno Bighorns out here for Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, but Ndiaye, well, I guess there is some change going on in Reno with the coaching staff. And, I'm not sure if, you know, he really fits what they want to do. The Simbalar thing was interesting, but he didn't look good out there. I mean,
everyone kept saying he kept looking like my my 7 foot older brother. That's what I kept getting all the time, is that me and him look too much alike.
So it's, as much as I don't really like the top of this draft, I love the depth of this draft. And I think there's going to be some real quality players still available, as you get, further along in this draft, even down at 59 when the Kings are picking. There'll be some shooters out there. There'll be some, potential backup point guards. You'll have, some big guys, some who can stretch the floor, some who are rebounding machines. There's sort of not really a need to waste a pick on, let's take this guy and see if we can make something out of him, because they're going to be some guys that you can do something with.
So let's start wrapping it up here, Ed. Let me ask you this final question. Who is it in this draft? It could be a second round player, or a top 15, top 20 player that you think could start moving up. Who is your sneaky type of player that most fans should be keeping an eye on come draft time?
The one guy to really watch, and as far as I know, not a lot of top 10 projections on him, or Domantas Sabonis. The guy is going to be a very good NBA player, and I think a lot more teams are starting to realize that. So I think there's a good chance he'll move up into the lottery, and I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day if he ended up, around 10 or 11. The kind of physical player you don't see anymore coming out of college. He has the Sabonis pedigree. He's able to stretch his game a little bit. He still has to, if he wants to become more of a stretch four, he has to work on his shooting. But just a terrific rebounder. Guy's always playing hard out there. The kind of guy coaches will love.
Say you're the Sacramento Kings and you're on the clock. Who do you think they should draft, or who are you drafting as the Sacramento Kings?
If he's available, Marquese Chris. I think he...
Wow, okay. So that's surprising, because I thought you were going to say Chris Dunn.
The way I've sort of envisioned it up to this point, Dunn is off the board. But I think, there's a chance that Chris won't be there either by number eight. But if he's there, I like what, the idea of what he can be in a couple of years, because you just have this combination of long range shooting ability and the athleticism, and he can block shots really well and run the floor. I mean, there's just so much raw talent there. Sort of in the way you were just trying to describe Jaylen Brown, what his potential is. Marquese Chris is a guy I think trumps that, because in a lot of ways he's already started making his progression in those areas. But at 6'10", to be able to move like he does, I think he's someone that if he's there, you can't pass him up, whether you need, someone like him or not.
And he's a Sacramento local, so I think that's like a cool little story to tag along with that. But let me ask you this, Ed. If, let's say, Chris is available and Dunn's available, the Kings have to choose Dunn, correct?
I think this point guard question, if they can settle it now, I'm not sure if they're going to, find anything else in free agency that they're going to be able to attract. So I think Dunn would probably be the more logical choice. But again, if they get Chris in for a workout, he may wow them enough that he'll make the decision really tough.
All right, guys, that is our show. Ed, please, thank you again so much for coming on the show, but please let these fans out there know where they can find you online, where they can read all of your scouting reports and your thoughts on all of these players.
You can find me at NBADraftBlog.com, which is my site, which is the scouting reports and interviews. You can find more of the fun stuff, people like mock drafts and lists and all that, over at NBC RotoWorld, so RotoWorld.com. And you can find me on Twitter at NBADraftBlog.
You guys can follow me as well on all social media platforms of at VM Center. A huge thank you again to you, Ed, for coming on the show. Everyone, if you have not done so already, be sure to subscribe to this show on iTunes or on Stitcher. And hey, while you guys are subscribing, do us a huge favor and leave us a rating on this show. Join the conversation by using hashtag TheKingsCourt to get your thoughts in on any of these prospects that we talked about. Do you guys like the decision of getting maybe Chris Dunn at number 8, like Ed said, or is it just the Kings have to find a way to get a guy like Chris Dunn, like most of you fans are already talking about? Let us know. Use hashtag TheKingsCourt. Everyone, go on SatKingsNation.com for all of your in-depth coverage of the Sacramento Kings. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, bye-bye.